Guys, it says it's 100% true. Everyone wants something for nothing. Meaning, if you're offered something for nothing, you are the happiest man alive. In fact, you're so happy about it, you usually complain about it. Usually, that's what ends up happening about it. Every time you take something for free, there almost always is a complaint in some way, shape, or form. But the fact is, that's not the way your life works. Life doesn't work that you get something for nothing. Everything we get in our world comes from work. And if it doesn't come from work, then unfortunately, something bad might have to be given with it. Says the Kedusha slave group, Levi Yitzmi Berdichev. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kohanim their din of Kedusha, the Kohanim thought they were greater than everyone else. They thought they're much better. Because they sat there and they said, listen, we're holier than everybody else. We get to do extra things. We sit in the base of Mikdash and we do this. They have extra dinim. They assumed that they were just greater. Their neshamos were greater. Their bodies were greater. They were greater people. And I've never been a Kohen in my life, but I am a Bechor. I still think I'm better than other people. I can imagine what these Kohanim are thinking. You know, you get all that, so you just assume. So that put gaiva in their hearts. When they were about to hear this parsha, put gaiva in their hearts. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them something first. The first thing he said is, you didn't do this. You didn't work hard to get this for yourself. You didn't do this for yourself. That's not what happened. You're only getting this, you only got yourself in this position because Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the Kohen Gadol, was the guy in charge of you. He was your father. Because of Aaron, you get all these extra things. If it wasn't for Aaron, you would have absolutely nothing. So it says in the beginning, Emor al Kohanim, say to the Kohanim, B'nei Aaron, you're all a bunch of sons of Aaron. It's not you. It has nothing to do with you. It's all because you're the sons of Aaron, and that's why you have what you have. How about you have Gaiva? You didn't do anything for it. You didn't deserve that. It's only because he's so great. Only then, when they realized that it wasn't about them, it wasn't how great they were, it's that Aaron was so great, and that's why they got everything that they have, now you can tell them their laws of Kedusha. Because they understand that it's not about them, it's about everybody else. Now, I've been reading over the past couple of weeks about Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and the Art School book is amazing. Rav Chanukh Teller's book is also amazing. And it's the first time I've had a Rebbe that passed away, and I can honestly consider, I can't call him a Rebbe Mufak, I didn't have him for long enough, but I learned with him, so it's enough that I can call him a Rebbe. It's the first time I've had a Rebbe that passed away. In that thought, I could just tell you that there's no, every bone in Rav Nosson Tzvi's body always screamed that it wasn't about him. It was all about his parents. He had schus avos. It was about Lezi Yudel Finkel, his grandfather. It was about all the other Finkels that were in the system, from the Alfer Slabodka even further back. He always understood that it was them that brought him to the position that he's in. It wasn't his own decisions. And obviously, he had his own decisions. He could have done anything with his life. He definitely didn't have to spend it in the Mir Yeshiva, you know, while still with Parkinson's and doing everything else. But he always contributed it to his chus avosim. And it could be that when a person does that, and he's told of his chus avosim, is even a Gemara, if you're told of his chus avosim, then everybody will say about you that it was really you. On the other hand, if you say it was all me, it wasn't my parents, it wasn't my grandparents, but it was all me, then everybody will say it was his parents. I think that's how, it's a straight out Gemara regarding Chizkiyah, that Chizkiyah said it's all me, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not you, it's David. And by others that say the other way, they're considered it for that itself. I believe it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now, there's a Havamina. The Havamina is that you wouldn't have to become Tamei for your father. Why wouldn't he have to become Tamei for your father if your father dies? A regular Kohen. Why wouldn't he have to go to the Beis HaKvaros for his father? So the Gemara said that the way the Gemara answers it and the way it seems is that you're not positive it's your father. You don't have any 100% proof. And your mother, you know it's your mother. You were born from her, that's for sure. How do you know your father is your father? So the pasuk has to say, to your mother, and to your father, and to your son, your daughter, and your brother. You really have a chiyuv to go to the cemetery for your mother more than you do for your father. Because your father is not a guarantee it's your dad. Your mother is a guarantee it's your mom. That's the idea behind it. That's what it ends up saying. Very, very, very strange. Very strange. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, I don't understand. You can kill a guy if he punches his father in the face and draws blood. You can kill a guy if he curses out his father. How do we not assume that it's your father? Why wouldn't we assume that we'll kill you based on it? Because we assume that it's your father based on Chazaka, because he's always been known as your father, or Rove, because most, it's a strange din, but Rove be'ilos hochanacharav. Most times that a woman is together, she's together with her husband, right, and not with another man. So even if she slept around, we assume she was together with her husband more, and the child is her father's. However you want to learn it, whether it's Rove or Chazaka, regardless, we know that lahalacha. We don't assume that a child is a mamzer unless there's a reason. So what in the world does that mean? And plus, let's say he's a mamzer. Okay, can he go to the cemetery? If he's a mamzer, then he's not the son of his father. His father is a kohen. So that means that he's not a kohen. So what are we worried about in the first place? I mean, the whole problem is, you might not be metame for your father. You may not be able to be metame for your father. Kamashmoni could be metame for your father. That can't be a true havamina. If you're not the son of your father, you're not a kohen. So of course you wouldn't be included in this parsha. The whole thing is so strange. It's just very, very strange what we're trying to do. Now, the strange thing even, it further complicates itself. The Torah goes with these types of human emotions. You're connected with your mother more than you are with your father because you're home with her more, and it seems that that's why you're writing the mother before the father. Well, it's that. We all know the difference in kibud of the aim and yiras aim v'av, right? Because by kibud of the aim, we honor our father and then our mother, because you always honor your father, but you always honor your mother because you love your mother. You grew up with her. It's a question, oh, can I really honor my father? When it comes to fear, you fear your father more than you do your mother, except for my kids because I'm awesome. But you normally would fear your father more than you would your mother. So that's the yiras aim and then av to tell you you got to do that.
A woman has a closer connection to her.
There's no question, right? And we see that very, very clearly, right? You're 100% right. And it's clear. Since when does the Torah, I'm asking this seriously, since when does the Torah ever go with human emotions and paskin based on that? Since when do we do such a thing? I mean, we're basing this on human emotions, and human nature is sad regarding this, and we're basing the whole Torah on that, on what we would think. Since when do we do such a thing? If the Torah is MS, then let it be MS. Then it's MS. I don't care if the father or mother comes first. It shouldn't matter to me. That's the way it should go. And all of our halachas regarding Hilchos Avelos go on these seven, because these are the people that we feel it the most by. No, Hilchos Avelos should come first, and then come the human emotions. Why does it seem that the Torah is following our base emotions and basing everything on that? Why should that be that way? Okay, so I'm going to go off tangent a little bit. I'm going to divert. I'm just going to go off a little bit, and I'm going to bring ourselves back. Okay, there was a Baskol. A Baskol went out in Paskin's like base Hillel, and from then on, all of Klal Yisrael Paskin like base Hillel. Here's the problem: Tosfos and Erevin Bavon Beis ask the following question. But we don't Paskin like a Baskol. Where do we show you that we don't Paskin like a Baskol? Where was the case?
Right?
When the walls were falling in and he turned the river the other way and he made the tree run away. Wait, all those things. So a Baskol came up from Shemayim and said, you have to Paskin like Rebbe Elazar. What do you want with Rebbe Elazar? He's always right in everything he does. And Rebbe Yeshua called out and said, Emash Kikum the Baskol. Sorry, we don't Paskin that way. So we don't Paskin like a Baskol. So why in the world do we Paskin like a Baskol regarding Beis Hillel if we don't Paskin over there? That's Tosus' question. Tosus' answer is an easy answer. Over there, the Baskol was going against a rove. The halacha is holchen achar a rove. We always go with the majority over the minority. We always go with the rove. So when the Baskol paskin like the mute, we tell the Baskol, get out of here. We don't want to listen to you. We go with the rove. But over here, the Baskol is going with the rove. The Baskol is going with Beis Hillel, who were more than Beis Shammai. So what's the problem? So if the Baskol is going with Beis Hillel, and that's the pshat and rove, I don't understand. They should have won anyway. Why did Beis Shammai even claim? Says Tosfos. Beis Shammai were sharper. Beis Shammai were smarter. They were more harif. So Beis Shammai thought, since we're smarter than Beis Hillel, even though they're more than us, that's because there's more idiots in the world. That's the only reason why I'm not chashish on that Beis Hillel was a bunch of idiots. But Beis Shammai was claiming, we're smarter. Smarter people come before the rove. That was their claim. Then the Baskol came out and said, go with Beis Hillel. Why would you listen to the Baskol? I don't understand. Again, we don't go with Baskols, right? The Baskol is only there to strengthen everything that we have before. And yet Tosus answers, yeah, there was a question, should he go with the Baskol? Should he go with Rove? Should he go with Karit, the sharper people? And the Baskol answered, you go with Rove. But we don't go after a Baskol. How do you know that we go after that? Well, how do we know that that's not law? Like, you can't go with a Baskol. That's exactly it. Rove HaShemayim. So why should you go with the Baskol? Well, maybe Harif does win. Maybe Shammai does win. Maybe the sharper person does win. So listen to this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says this, and he tells us the following. The Torah gives a blueprint to know how to Paskin in every given situation. And yes, the Torah says you go with Rove, even if the Miut is smarter. Now, where do we see that? Where do we see that? Well, let's try to think. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai weren't stam arguing about one case. They were arguing about the entire concept of rove. Does rove win when the rove is a bunch of fools? Or does the rove win no matter what?
That's really the question. Does Rove win no matter what? It doesn't matter who it is. Or does Rove only win when there's sharp people? Okay. Beis Hillel says, we go after the seichel that we have. Not everybody is brilliant. Not everybody got a 1600 or 2400 on their SATs. Not everyone has an IQ of over 180. So you go with most of the people. Most of the people are not that smart. That's what you got to go with. If that's the understanding of the human being, of the human nature, then you have to go with that situation. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. But according to Beis Shammai, that's not the way you go. According to Beis Shammai, you go with the greatest minds available. The smartest man available, that's how you paskin. That's what you go with, that's automatic, and you have to go that way. Now, let's try to understand. When the Paschal came out with Beis Hillel, now, Mimanachshach, you have to go with Beis Hillel. Either you have Rove, that's cute. Either you have Rove, because Beis Hillel was the Rove, or you go with the smartest mind available, right? According to Beis Shammai, the smartest mind available would be Open Shammai. They're smarter than anybody else. According to Beis Shammai, you wouldn't go with Lo Bashamayim. The whole concept of Lo Bashamayim doesn't exist. Because Lo Bashamayim means it's for us. Because we're not smart enough. We have to go with what we have. Beis Shammai says, no, it goes with the smartest people out there. So when Beis Shammai heard the Paschal come out and say, Paskin like Beis Hillel, they were messed over Mimonashach. If you go with the smartest person, the Paschal said to go with Beis Hillel. If you're going to go with Rove, Rove is Beis Hillel. No matter what they lost.
Which story happened first?
Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus happened much later. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus understood. He was from Beis Shammai. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was a Shammaiic. He learned under Beis Shammai. He learned under those people. That was what Rabbi Elazar was. That's why he was so. I don't want to say messed over, but that's why he sat there and he argued his point. He said, "I'm smarter than all of you. I'm greater than every other person here." And he was right. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said the famous line that's in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos and Perek Beis. Question: whether it's Mishnah Yud Aleph or Mishnah. But he went around and he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is genius, but if you took all the Chachamim and you put him on one side of the scale, you took Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, you put him on the other, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus wins. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was brilliant. He was beyond brilliant. He never even said a line that was his own Chiddush. Said the Gemara in Sukkah Kaf Chatzman Aleph. He only said things that were told over by his Rebbe. That's all he did. He only told over. He had a phenomenal memory. If so, then this whole argument that he had with Rebbe Yeshua and all the Chachamim was about something that his Rebbe had told him that he was right. Because he never made up a Kiddush. And Rabbi Yeshua was saying, no, we don't understand that. We're going to have to go with another way. We're going to have to say that it's Tameh. Rabbi Yeshua said, what is wrong with you? I'm brilliant. I'm smarter than all of you combined. But put yourselves on a scale. I'm going to weigh you all down. And Rabbi Yeshua calmly told him, we don't care. We go with Rove. When the Paschal came out, and it paskin like the sharper one, then we looked at that and said, you can't Paschal like that. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you go with the Paschal. According to Beis Shammai, you go with the Paschal. But we don't hold that way anymore. Because the Paschal came out in Paschal like Beis Hillel, which means we always go with Rove, no matter how smart the other person is, and that's the Halacha no matter what. Maybe this is also the Machlokas regarding a Kala. You know there's a Machlokas about what to say about a Kala according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel says, every wedding you go to, you go in and you say, that Kala is a beautiful Kala. Kala Noah the Chasuda. She's a beautiful Kala and a Chasuda Dika Kala. Wow, what an unbelievable. The Gemara in Chasudas, right? What Kala Noah the Chasuda? According to Beis Shammai? No. If she's ugly, she's ugly. You go in and you say, like, yeah, whatever. That's it. You don't lie. Because according to Beis Shammai, it's all about here. It's use your brain. According to Beis Hillel, it's take human emotion into account. The guy doesn't want to hear on the night of his wedding. Oh, are you serious? That's not what he wants to hear. So you go up to him and say, what a beautiful cow. That's what he wants to hear. Go up to him and say, that's the difference between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is absolute truth. No old bar, just say what you want to say. No filters.
You wouldn't say that at the wedding. You should have said that before they got engaged.
Maybe you didn't know. You went to the wedding because you're a very fun guy. You didn't know what the girl looked like. You all of a sudden went to the wedding, and as she's walking down the aisle, you somehow picked your head up from the safer because I don't know, there was a lightning struck. And like, you looked and you saw the girl just with a brief glance. You're like, oh gosh, that's hideous. I could look now. Maybe you said that. Who knows? But the fact is, that's the machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. That may be why in the future, I don't know where this chazal is. That I can definitely tell you. I've never seen it inside before, but it's quoted everywhere. Lasted level, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Why are we going to pass on Alifei Shammai? It's Chassidish. It's that Rizal brings it down. I don't know. I've never seen the Zohar, so maybe it's in there. But what's the reason? Why would we go with Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel? What would be the problem with that? The answer is because Beis Shammai, they understand the absolute truth. In a world of emotions, which we're living in right now, in a world where things have problems, then you've got to go with Beis Hillel. Because that's the way the thing is. The whole Torah was written with this type of idea. But Beis Shammai is the absolute truth. Lost at level, when everybody knows the truth, when everybody knows the MS, that's when we go with Beis Shammai. That's the concept behind it. That's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Chiddush, and that's the idea of why the Torah is written this way, in this holistic way of trying to figure out things according to human nature, because that's our world. Lost at level, there may be other reasons, but right now, that's how we understand it. Okay, this sounds so far. I saw this reference, and I didn't know exactly how to put it in, and whatever it is, but it's an unbelievable one. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's hard for people who have sinned and done bad things in their youth to do tshuva when they get older. It's very hard. Because if you do something wrong, it sort of leads you in that direction. It's very hard to pull yourself out of it. And I think everyone here knows it in some way, shape, or form. You've done something in your life that you're not proud of. You're not proud of it, but you did it. And you can't get yourself out of it. In fact, you're convincing yourself that it's the right way to go. I'm doing this correctly. For me, it would have to be sports. I got myself into sports at a very young age, and I've never been able to pull myself out. It's hard even now to check my phone to see what's going on in the Bulls game. I want to. The fact is, I do want to. But it's hard to get myself out of it. And it's sad, because 8 years in Eretz Yisrael, you don't give a darn about anything. Nothing matters. Usually in Chicago, that's fine. But it usually doesn't matter. You're used to this. Jay Cutler going down, Derrick Rose going down, the Cubs have never been good, the White Sox, okay, whatever.
Hey, they've been playing well. The
yes, they have been. So now they're 14-23. Yeah, they're 7 games under. 12 games under. What? No. Hush, that I wouldn't do. I haven't gone to a game since 1997. I haven't gone to a game of anything. Yes. I'm very proud of it. Yeah, preachers. I hate looking at those players. It's a killer. Especially the short shorts in basketball. Nothing's wrong with it. It's just, the fact is, you get so used to something you can't get out of it. I'm using that as my example. Everyone has something that's just hard to get out of. You just can't get yourself out of it. You just gotta keep doing it because it's there. Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud says there are four things that take a person out of this world. Here are the four things. Sleeping late in the morning. Sleeping late in the morning is terrible for you and destroys your day. Drinking wine.
What does that mean?
That means that if you do that, you're going to destroy your whole life.
What's considered sleeping late?
No, I don't know. I mean, that depends on the person, I would assume. You know? Yeah, I guess back then. You know, like late. I mean, like really late. Number two.
Sleep early.
Even so. Okay, so maybe it's different now than it is back then. Regardless, sleeping late in the morning. Number two, drinking wine in the early afternoon and getting yourself drunk in the early afternoon. Number three, immature, childish conversations called sichas yoladim, having those immature types of conversations. Number four, sitting in shoals with amei aretz. Sitting in shoals with people that are amei aretz. Those four things take a person out of this world and kill him earlier than he was supposed to die. No jokes about that last one. So here's the pshat, says the Chassam Sofer. Here's how he understands it. A person can sleep through his whole youth, when he was younger and a little kid, whatever it is, and do absolutely nothing with everything he had. You don't even have tithes yet. You're a little kid. Before you have any desires to do anything, you just waste your time. You can spend your whole life, your whole little youth, literally wasting your time. How many video games have we played? How many sports games have we played?
Well, isn't there the whole idea that a child is evil from his youth?
You're right. Yetzer Ra Min Urot, right? You have a Yetzer Hara even from two. They're 100% right.
No, but it's not saying that.
It's the fact that sleeping late in the morning is a reference to what you do when you're a kid. What you do when you're a kid is just a little bit different. It's like you don't even have typhus, and yet you're falling prey to everything there. There's no Torah going on at that time, or not enough Torah. Number two, when you get a bit older, you start gaining in typhus. You start having typhus. Your mind is muddled because all you're thinking about is that typhus, this typhus, that typhus, this typhus, and it's just filling up your head. You can't think straight. Again, no Torah. Then you get a little bit older. You're working hard. You're trying to raise your kids, your family, and you're trying to take care of them. So you don't have that much time to yourself. You don't really have the time to be able to work on yourself. Again,
No Torah. And finally, you're older. You're an old man now. Your kids are out of the house. You married them all off. You finally have time to retire, sit down in shul, and you sit together with Amir Atzin. Because you never learned how to learn in the first place. That means that all you got is Tehillim, and maybe a little bit of an, to be honest, like some you're going to have to sit somewhere else. Because you never worked on yourself in the first place. And you don't know any better. If only you had started when you were younger, then everything would be okay. But you didn't. Says Devarim, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Al Teven El Kashyenu, Rishenu, Lechatzasenu. Do not turn to our Kashyenu with our hardened hearts, Rishenu with our evil deeds, Chatzasenu with our evil, again, it means things that we did accidentally wrong. We hardened our necks not to listen to the Chachamim, and that's what made us do evil. We didn't do what they told us to do. Learn as much as you can, and we didn't do it. We didn't do it, and now look at where we are. The remez is through the word, the Rosh Yitavis, the idea is, Kashyenu, Rishenu, Chatzasenu. The first letters of each one is Korach. Korach. Says our Pasuk right over here. It says, Lo Yikrachu Korcha Berosham. Don't allow Korach to come upon your heads. Where you just sit there and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And you lose your whole life doing nothing and not allowing yourself to learn. That's what it means. Korcha is Kuf for Kashyenu, Reish for Rishenu, and Ches for Chatzasenu. Don't waste your time doing that. Because if you do, what's going to happen is, if you don't take advantage of the time allotted to you, then it's going to be Pa'as Zikanam. You don't want to take, I don't know what to say it even, you don't want to shave off your time when you get older. You don't want to shave everything off to the point where you're completely out of hairs, you're completely out of whack, you have no ability to go out and do things. And that's the pshat behind the end of it. Uviv sarum lo yisutu saratas. Don't make scratches in your flesh. Says the Chacham Sofer, you're so into your buster, into your gashmis, into your skin, into your own flesh and blood, that it makes a scratch in your nefesh and affects you forever. You don't want to have that scratch be in your buster. That's why the letters after Korach, Kuf, Reish, and Ches, is Seret. Sin after Reish, Reish after Kuf, Tes after Ches. That the Seret, the Sorot, that's over here, that's mentioned over here, the scratch in your skin, the only way you get a scratch is you start off by pulling out your hair, so to speak. That's the idea of getting the scratches in the skin. Don't allow that to happen to you. Last thing that we're going to go through is this idea of Kiddush Hashem. Toward the end of the parsha, it says, yeah, what's up?
We're not going to go through the story.
What story?
The man that got kicked out and cursed God.
The Mikalo? I did that for the past 3 years. The Mikalo and Yeshu?
Of course.
Okay, if you do want to hear something about how Yashka is really the Mikalo, that's a different issue altogether. You can, I really have gone through it for the past 3 years. So I didn't want to do the Mikalo this year just for that reason. Okay, the Mikalo was Yeshu. Okay? Just know that. He cursed really badly. The whole idea of like being upset about the lechem upon him, because lechem upon him is never, it looks like it's fresh, but he didn't think it was fresh. He looked at it, it's like, are you serving 9-day-old moldy bread? Yeshu's idea was God is moldy and he has nothing to do with the Jews anymore. His relationship with the Jews is stale and he doesn't want anything to do with you. That was the lechem upon him that the Mikalo looked at and said, I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. The Mikalo was kicked out of the camp. So too, Yeshu was kicked out of the camp for saying something evil about a certain woman. That's what he ended up doing. So Yeshu was kicked out of the camp. And the fact that Yeshu thought that he had no place, he had no chelik, right, among the Jewish people, that was the idea of the Mikalo. He thought he had no place in the Jewish people. His problem was he didn't understand. Everyone has their place. It may not be the place you want, but it is the place that you deserve. It's the place that you should be getting. And it's, sometimes it's sad, because sometimes you look at it and you're like, but I want something more, and I hear you. I also want something more sometimes, but you have to live with what you have. You have to live with what you have and understand that this is what a Kaddish Baruch will give you for a reason. It's a challenge, and there's huge challenges, and some people have worse challenges than I can possibly imagine. But the fact is, it is a challenge that you can overcome. That's the power of the Mikalo. That's the entire idea of the Mikalo. And that's how we compare it to Yeshua.
Well,
there is more.
The meat, right?
Yeah, there's more to it. I forgot one other thing. Hold on.
We don't know.
I'm thinking of a different one. Yeah, there's a mitzri. There's a lot to it. I was just thinking of another one. Shimon ben Yochai is same gematria as Mechaye HaMason. Yeah, I thought of that. That was another thing. It has nothing to do with this. I was thinking of that Kamashra earlier today. So anyway, regardless, regarding Kiddush Hashem, okay, sometimes you see a Chilul Hashem that must be done in order for the Kiddush Hashem to happen. For example, Kalev got up in front of all the, you know, with all the Meraglim saying all these terrible things about Eretz Yisrael. Right, so Kalev got up there and he had to silence everybody. He didn't know what to do. So everybody was talking, screaming, kill Moshe, let's get rid of them, let's go back to Mitzrayim. Everybody's screaming. Kalev got up and he said, is this the only thing that Ben Avram has ever done to us? Silenced everybody. Everybody's silent. Everybody's looking at Kalev. And he's like, he took us out of Egypt and he gave them Makos, and then he did Kriyas Yamsuf, he gave us the Torah, and everybody was like, oh. That was that. He silenced everyone. In order to make a Kiddush Hashem, sometimes you have to start off with a Chilul Hashem. It's exactly what Kalev did. And that's good. That doubles your schar. Using a Chilul Hashem, so to speak, making a Chilul Hashem in order to make a greater Kiddush Hashem can be greater schar. That's without a question. But that doesn't ever work by Avodah Zarah. Never. It never works by Avodah Zarah. Whenever you say jokingly, like Yehu is one of the kings in Eretz Yisrael. He said, Achav served the Baal. Baal was a type of Avodah Zarah, a bit. I'm going to do much more than that. Yehu was a tremendous king. He never wanted to do Avodah Zarah. He was saying it jokingly. You think Achav did something? Oh, I'll show you what I'm going to do with the Baal. And he meant to take the Baal and smash it on the ground. Never ever say that about any other religion. The reason why is because there's something called, I guess you can call it, your lips, everything that comes out of your lips, anything that happens, it's bris krusa lisfasayim. Your lips say something, it's mamish makes a roshim in heaven. And when you say such a thing, Yehu started to believe in it himself. And Yehu became an evil king, all because he started off saying something evil. So this is the pshat. Lo sechalulu Hashem kachi. Do not be machalul, my holy name, even if the purpose is v'nikdash dibesoch b'nei Yisrael. If it's to make holy the Nei Yisrael. When is that? When Ani Hashem Ekadishchem. When it's going up against Ani Hashem. Something that I, Hashem, am doing. If you're going to go ahead and do that, if you start joking about joining other religions and saying, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to join this religion, I'm going to join that religion. It doesn't happen all at once. It affects you. Saying certain things about yourself when it comes to Avodah Zarah, not anything else, although in a smaller aspect it does affect you, but saying these things in Avodah Zarah affects you. It does hurt you. Reading the Quran or reading the New Testament, as much as you think, what's the big deal? I'm not going to believe in Islam. I'm not going to believe in Christianity. You think that. These things have an effect. Not because they're true.
It's only a book.
Yeah, go ahead and watch a movie then. The movie is a rated G movie, and it's purely a cartoon, and there's no woman in it. Even the woman cartoons, which are still evil. Right, only robots, and again, and over 700 pound people. The biggest guy in the world was 1,400 pounds, and then he lost weight. He lost 800 pounds. Brought himself down to 600 pounds. He was married to a girl who's weighed like 160 or 150, something like that. So he has three records in the record book. Number one, most disproportionate weight size between husband and wife, largest man, and most weight loss. Then he gained 450 pounds, and then he died. So it's kind of sad, and it didn't end off on a good note. But regardless, I was shocked by that. Anyway, all the things that you learn when reading Guinness Book of World Records, what? What?
What?
What did you just say?
Save a lot of money inside of the
cops. That's terrible. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard. Anyway, regardless, you got to be careful of stuff like this. It does affect your soul, and you have to be careful. You just have to make sure what you're saying correctly. So in summary, no gaiva for the Quran. We tell them it's B'nai Aharon. You're only this because you're B'nai Aharon. The Torah is based on human emotions. It's for us to do, not for them to do. That's the concept. Number three, remez to doing tshuva. We have that remez to doing tshuva. Don't waste your time. Work yourself into it. And number four, have a Kiddush Hashem within the Chilul Hashem. You can do that by everything. You can make a Kiddush Hashem within the Chilul Hashem, but only by other things, not by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the only time that doesn't apply. Stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.